way. Said you ain't seen nothing till you're down on a muffin, then you're sure to be a change in your ways. I met a cheerleader, was a real young breed, all the times I can reminisce. All the best things of loving with a sister and a cousin, only started with a little kiss like this.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. Oh, I love that music. Walk This Way. There's a correct way to walk so you don't fall. I've heard about this. Right now, we're all doing the little penguin shuffle, I think, in this time of year. But we're thrilled because we have in studio with us today Aaron Wickbolt, and he is a physical therapist with Alina, and he has brought two wonderful people with him, Lindsay Atchison and also Jordan McGowan. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. So first of all, what are we going to talk about today?
What we're going to talk about today is how to get into your New Year's resolution the correct way with proper training.
So this is, I have a feeling I know where this is going because I started out my New Year's with, I'm not just going to do 10,000 steps, I'm going to do 20. And then you do that for a couple days, and then you're sore, and then you think, push through it, and then you hurt yourself, and the next thing I have to come see you, right?
Right, exactly, yep.
So I did something wrong.
We tend to get people into exercise gradually, and we like to frame it so that you do something that you like, too, so you're not just pushing yourself into misery, because you're not going to continue to do something if you don't like to do that type of exercise. So typically when we are training people, and Jordan works with me with designing exercise programs at the clinic here in Hastings, and when we design programs for people, we usually try to provide them choices for exercises and ask them which exercises they prefer the most.
And do you ever trick them into doing something they don't even know is an exercise? It's just part of your daily life.
Absolutely, yeah. Trying to form good habits and just trying to think about how you structure your day and making simple changes that just fit into your everyday structure. And that's really how you're going to form a good habit. That's how you're going to change your behavior. That's how you're really going to stick with your New Year's resolution. A lot of people think that New Year's resolutions or a new exercise program has to be all about willpower. And to an extent, it is. You're going to have to change your behavior, and you're going to have some willpower to really continue on doing that exercise program. But our main focus is trying to fit that exercise into someone's everyday life where they're going to want to continue to do that exercise, and that exercise is not going to be such a chore. And then pretty soon you get, let's say after 2 or 3 months, you get to a point where you're just doing that exercise and it's a habit. And now you're doing it unconsciously, and you're not even thinking about it. You're hopefully just incorporating that into your everyday life. That's the way that you're going to actually make a huge change in your life. That's how you're going to stick with your New Year's resolution, is not just pure willpower, because that just runs out sooner or later. It's actually just making those habitual changes.
So when you work with people, you don't necessarily always work with people that are coming back from an injury. Are you saying that some people might come to you to develop an exercise program?
Yep. Jordan and I kind of run the weight management program at the clinic. And so we are seeing individuals that need a little bit of assistance in designing an exercise program, or people that have never really been exercisers in their entire life, and so we're setting up an exercise program from scratch for them. So it's nice because our clinic is right in the YMCA
yes.
building, so we can bring our clients up into the YMCA gym and also teach them how to use the machines up there, because we eventually, typically in this patient population, we see them for around 6 to 12 visits. We eventually want to get them to that independent program, and the YMCA is a great way to get them there.
Love it. Mm-hmm. So Jordan, tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm a physical therapist. I work at Courage Kenny here in Hastings. I graduated from Mayo Clinic School of Health Sciences a couple years ago.
Slacker.
So, I went to grad school there, yeah. And then this is, I've been here for about 2 years.
Can I tell you, I have learned so much about what physical therapists do. I feel silly even calling you by your first name. I feel like you should have a huge title, because I know how much you know about medicine, about science, about our bodies. So I have great respect for what you're doing. So is this a kind of a great opportunity for you to not only work with somebody like Aaron, but also I think what makes the Courage Kenny here so unique is its affiliation with the Y.
Absolutely. The Y is a great resource for us. And we send a lot of our patients there after physical therapy when they're more independent with their exercises to continue the goal, the achievements that they've made throughout physical therapy. So that has been an excellent resource.
And I like to hear that you actually will go there with them, mm-hmm, to help take away some of the stigma, especially for somebody that maybe hasn't exercised in a long time. I think the Y can be intimidating.
Absolutely, yeah. Just any kind of gym can be very intimidating. You oftentimes have big guys grunting and whatnot when lifting weights, but we try to educate our clients into what they enjoy doing to make sure that they're maximizing their success with their overall fitness. Yeah.
So the people that you see this time of year, is it, well, I don't want to generalize, who are they? Is there a specific population that you see?
We also have a wide variety of patients that we see. The majority of patients that we see are mainly outpatient orthopedic, meaning a lot of knees and hips, back patients, neck, shoulders, ankles. Those are our main patients that we see. We have a heavy neurological caseload as well, strokes and concussions, dizziness problems, which we talked about last time when I was on air. Then we have the weight management program. So right now we're probably seeing all of those conditions. We do see some slips and falls, some injuries from the ice, and so there's more broken bones and recovering from that. That's definitely something that we do see more in the winter. But our caseload, for the most part, is fairly consistent throughout the entire year with that mix of caseload. And we have a great group of therapists that work at our clinic, and so everybody kind of has their own little niche that they see. So we have a couple therapists that see more neuro patients and a few more therapists that might specialize in the hip or the knee or returning people back to sports or something like that.
Lindsay, let's chat it up with you, please, because you are an intern right now. Is that correct?
Yep, I'm Aaron's student.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, I'm from the University of Jamestown Physical Therapy Program. We're located in Fargo. I'm in my third year right now. I'll be graduating in May. So I'm finishing up my last clinical at Courage Kenny, and it's been great so far.
I bet it has. And what kind of specialty do you think you might go into?
I do like the general outpatient, orthopedic. I like the variety. And I've had 3 clinicals with that so far, so that's been good. I do kind of like the neuro, maybe doing more of a neuro specialty in the future. But I'm pretty open-minded right now.
That's awfully nice. Mm-hmm. So do you hope to get a job somewhere near in North Dakota, or what is the job market like?
Yeah, pretty good. Probably somewhere in Minnesota. I've also thought about travel PT, where you can do like 3 months at a time in different locations and get some experience in different settings.
Do it while you're young.
Right.
Yeah, probably.
I actually did that for 5 years.
I bet it was awesome.
It was great. We lived all over the country.
Yes.
And my wife is an occupational therapist, so we were able to sign contracts all over the place. So we got to see the whole country.
How nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like a good deal. So,
Well, good luck to you. That's awesome. So what else can we do to help ourselves just age and age in place, because I know that's a big thing for people. all of a sudden they want to stay at their house, but they physically cannot. And what are some of the things that we can do to help ourselves do so?
Yeah, I think the spiel that I always give is that sometimes I think our society is looking for that magic pill, and we're trying to take pills that are going to keep us healthy, but exercise really is that magic pill. There's so many benefits from just general exercise overall. There's benefits for your heart, for your lungs, for staying strong. Also benefits for your brain as well. You're getting increased blood flow to your brain, and also exercise has been linked to better memory as well. So, and there's many more reasons why you should be exercising to try to keep away diabetes and extra pounds that are gonna add to extra pounds on your joints. So lots of different reasons to exercise, and that's kind of my spiel that I give people, that exercise is kind of that magic pill that kind of helps everything in your body, helps your mood too, and it helps in the winter with your mood staying high too.
So everybody, it seems, is wearing a device that tracks their exercise, their sleeping, their how many steps. Is there a magic number that the two of you have come up with? Because this whole 10,000 step thing, what I read about that is that it was just kind of an arbitrary round number, and that there's a threshold, and correct me if this is wrong, but I think it was 7,500 steps for people of a certain age, that if they went over that, it didn't really matter. And I've heard the threshold even as low as 4,500 for certain ages of people.
I actually like going with more of a, I have people use an intensity of their exercise.
Okay.
Metric, and the goal that I have for people is 150 intense minutes of exercise per week, meaning you're getting your heart rate elevated to a certain range.
Intense for you.
Right.
Okay.
Yep, it would be a sliding scale for what your heart rate should get up to when you're exercising.
And how do you measure that, though, just as a normal person without some sort of device?
There's a way that you can put your fingers on your wrist and measure your heart rate. And so you could go through a regular exercise program, and you'd be able to pretty easily measure your heart rate on your wrist by just counting the beats and then looking up at a clock and counting how many beats per minute your heart is racing at. The smartwatches are very nice because they do offer that opportunity to measure your heart rate at real time. And then a lot of the exercise machines that you'll find at gyms, any gym, they have devices on them that they'll actually be able to measure your heart rate pretty easily. And there's also methods that we use in physical therapy where we have a scale where we will have people tell us how hard they think they're pushing themselves on that scale. And that scale is actually pretty correlational to where their heart rate is when they're exercising. So
do people underestimate or overestimate, do you see?
Actually, it's pretty spot on. I would say when we show them the scale, they actually are giving us a pretty good representation. And I know the correlation has been backed up by studies, but just from me being a therapist for 10 years and having people rate themselves on that scale and then taking their heart rate, it's pretty close. It's really, when they tell us they're pushing themselves to this certain point, their heart rate is where it should be. And that's the intensity that we're looking for. So it's actually pretty close.
So should you be winded? Is that another way of thinking about intensity?
Yeah, you should be breathing hard, but not so hard that you're gasping for air.
Okay.
That's an easy way to think about it.
Okay. So that's what, 20 some minutes a day, 22 minutes a day?
Yeah, 23? Somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yeah, like a 5 days a week, 30 minutes type of exercise regimen.
Don't you think if people are really into exercise, though, they can't even miss a day?
I think so, yeah. And that's
because it does. I know the mental piece really does help.
Right. And then you get that habit formed where you're thinking at the end of your workday, you're like, okay, I have to go to the gym now. It doesn't feel right if I just go home and finish my night at home. I have to go to the gym before I go home. So
like your 20,000 steps a day goal. If you have a day where you don't get that 20,000 steps, you're going to be mad at yourself. But everybody takes rest days. Like even people who exercise very regularly, it's good to take a rest day. So it's okay if you don't get that.
So you're talking about aerobic exercise, obviously, with this intensity piece. What about, is it called weight-bearing exercise? No.
Resistance training.
Resistance training.
Yeah.
And what's weight-bearing exercise?
Weight-bearing exercise could be considered resistance training as well. You could say body weight training.
Okay.
Doing squats, lunges, any type of plyometrics, that would be considered some type of weight-bearing exercise as well. But yeah, when we were going through, when Jordan and I start our weight management program or any exercise program in general, we're first making sure they have the range of motion to be able to do that certain exercise to complete a task. The second thing is going through the cardiovascular side of things. So making sure that they have the aerobic exercise and they know how to use a exercise bike and feel comfortable on a treadmill. And there's other machines that you can use as well, or just walking outside is fine. Then the third thing would be is making sure that they have a good resistance program. So making sure that we hit all the big muscles of the body, arms, legs, and making sure that they have a variety of ways to do it. So we'll take them up to the YMCA and we'll take them through the machines, make sure they feel comfortable with the basic machines, and then also designing an exercise program for home where they're able to do squats, lunges with good form, so they're not, they know what to expect with the exercise, so they're not hurting themselves, and just having a lot of different options for exercise so they feel like they can do exercise at home, right, at home and at the gym.
Because as we age, being strong is important. And what happens to us as we age? We're not as strong.
Right. So after about the age of 30, actually, you start to... I know, right? I'm past that. After about the age of 30, you start to lose a little bit of muscle strength and bone strength and your ligament and your tendon strength each year. Now, the rate is going to be much different. So if you're not doing anything, you're going to get weaker much, much, much faster. If you are strengthening, you can get stronger at any point in your life. And if you continue to strengthen yourself, that rate is going to be very, very slow.
But don't you think that that is one of the hardest things for people to recover from, let's say, a hip injury, if they don't have the upper body strength to even lift themselves up to, that's what I've seen anyway of older people that I know that have had surgeries, women in particular. I don't think we do as much as we should strengthening our upper body.
Yeah, the upper body is extremely important for functional movements, getting in and out of bed, standing up from a chair. Yeah, so yeah, we do some upper body strengthening. Also, occupational therapy is a good resource for any kind of upper limb strengthening. And then at Courage County, we have a hand therapist who can work on elbow and wrist strengthening as well. Yeah.
Also important. Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered it all.
Well, I'm so grateful. I think we did as well. Lindsay, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Next time we chat, you are going to probably be graduated, so I look forward to hearing how the rest of your schooling goes. We want to thank our guest today, Lindsay Atchison. She is an intern, and she is working at the Courage County Center alongside Eric Wickbolt and Jordan McGowan. Thank you so much for coming in today. Really, really learned a lot.
Thank you.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.